Hey everybody, it's Rider Club Radio!
Why do you put that on? Just say it's Rider Club. What is this? Hey
everybody, it's Rider Club Radio.
That's better. Thank you.
I mean, you don't really have to listen to
it. Continue that until you're dead.
Won't be long.
At this rate.
He's Liam, I'm Jeff. This is a Tokusatsu podcast, if you don't know. If you do know, you're probably not listening to it.
Oh, if we talk about Kamen Rider and everything else. And this week?
This week, we watched Kamen Rider X-Aid episode 30?
Fucking don't ask me. I don't think it was 30. I think it was 29.
Jesus, fuck. Do I watch these things?
Do you? It's always the numbers.
I can't remember numbers. I'm number lexic or whatever. Whatever gets people to stop riding my ass about it.
Oh, what was there's an actual term for it, like dis-numer, I don't know.
I don't know either. We watched, we watched X-Aid 29, I believe. We watched X-Aid 29, we watched Kamen Rider Amazons episode 17, and we watched Kamen Rider Phi's episodes fucking 43, 44, and 45.
43, 44, and 45, that's it.
I almost choked on my own wrongness. But, Liam, why don't you start us out by telling us what happened in Kamen Rider X-8 episode 29?
Okay, so this week, Parrot reveals that he's Emu's Bugster.
Shocking.
Shocking. He's actually saved Emu's life once in the past. There's a clever little callback where Emu, when he first found out that he was infected, he was like, ah! And he's about to die, and then Parrot teleports away, and then Emu recovers, and I didn't catch it at the time, but it was because Parrot was like fusing with Emu to fix him so he doesn't die.
Yeah. Dude, there's a lot of little callbacks like that where every time Emu's eyes flash red, like Parrot was somewhere nearby.
Mm-hmm. So
is clever. They answered all my questions about like how the fuck they were together and everything. He was just projecting himself.
So yeah, it's there's a lot of little flashbacks like, hey, remember this? That was me. This was me. This was also me. And he tends to agree with him.
Remember when I killed your brother, Eddie? I talk just like this!
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I don't know why Parrot called him Eddie, but...
Eddie, that was a weird scene. And it turns out that Genius Gamer M, that's Parrot's personality. And when he beat Nico, Spencer's Gifts, in the Tekken 7 tournament, he was Parrot, he wasn't Emu. So, it turns out her eternal rival is actually Parrot, not Emu.
And she's, like, so quick to forgive him. She's like, I should really apologize to Emu.
It's the most reasonable Kamen Rider character in history.
Yeah,
like,
no doubt.
He was mind controlled. Well, shit, I had the wrong idea this whole time. There was a misunderstanding.
I should probably say I'm sorry.
And he takes over Emu's body and just runs off with him. And they fight as Double X. They go blue and orange, and they fight each other.
Teal and orange?
Fuck your face.
This was proven, shit face.
Mm-mm, nope.
That depends shit was proven.
Depends on the lighting.
It depends on the color they dyed the fucking suit, which was teal.
Depends on how wrong Jeff is, which is very wrong.
Oh my god. Liam, you have a small penis.
They fight. And in the meanwhile, you go back to the pit, and Poppy's talking, and she starts getting memories from Dan's mother. It turns out the person she infected and killed was Dan's mother.
Oh, that isn't revealed.
Oh, it's fucking obvious.
He doesn't say Mama San or whatever the fuck Ogasan.
It's unbelievably obvious, though.
It's super obvious.
It's just like she's like, whoa, who's this lady? This lady who's like, you know, like 25 years older than Dan and is always around him when he's a kid. Who could this be? And she starts seeing all these memories from her. So we, the audience, now are pretty sure that it's Dan's mom, but you never
know. Yeah. She's unaware, though.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a hero gets a call because I guess someone sees Emu and Parrot fighting, and they run out to get him, to save Emu. And they catch up to him, and they catch the fight. And Emu hits Parrot with, like, a maximum blast, which rewrites
something.
Well,
wait
something.
A minute.
What?
Doesn't Parrot, like, kick everyone's ass first?
That's
after.
Okay. That's after.
Okay.
Like, he uses Maximum Mighty X. It rewrites his DNA somehow. Like, I don't know what exactly he fucking does. He changes his DNA a little. He takes some of the Bugster out, I guess. And Parrot says, ha-ha! now that you took some Bugster out of my DNA, I'm human enough that I can use this gamer driver. So he puts it on. He puts in his dual Gashat, which lets him use both of them at the same time. He turns it a perfect knockout and kicks everyone's dicks in.
Like, he fucking ruins everybody.
He embarrasses the entire cast. He destroys them all.
My absolute favorite part, I'm going to skip ahead to this real quick.
Okay.
My absolute fucking favorite part is he's like, I'm a Kamen Rider Paradox level 99, and Snipe, who is intelligent, uses his strongest Gashat and becomes level 50. And then Brave just becomes level 2. Why would you do that? Why did you bother?
Well, I mean, what's his other option?
This dude is 97 levels above you.
That's the thing with Snipe and Brave. Whenever they work together, it's always funny because only one of them can be level 50.
Yeah.
So it's like one guy who's like, I'm level 50. And the other guy's like, yeah, I'll be level 4. This will go great. Like, that's all they can do.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter because he embarrasses the fuck out of both of them.
I mean, he's either 97 levels ahead of you or 49. Either way, he's going to destructify you.
Yeah.
And he does so. He absolutely shits on it. He even beats Emu. Emu goes to Maximum Mighty X. He gets his ass kicked, probably because he's tired or something. They should be even, in theory. But Emu gets his shit rocked. And he takes over Emu's body and just fucks off again. And meanwhile, in Dan's mom's memories, Poppy discovers at the back of an abandoned arcade, there is a Proto Mighty Action X Gashat that's level 0. And supposedly this is like... She remembers Dan saying, like, oh, I got these Bugsters that can make these amazing video games, but you could get infected, but it's okay, there's a countermeasure that can cure you. But she doesn't know what the countermeasure is. She doesn't have the memory of Dan telling his mom. So she finds this level 0 Gashat that's like Mighty Action X,
fucking
black and white.
I'm level 0. Like...
Apparently normal humans are level -1.
That's fine.
So there's a level 0 Gashat, and she's going to turn into Genmu next episode.
Why doesn't she turn into Kamen Rider Poppy?
Because she doesn't have the bug visor anymore, and she's using Mighty Action.
She just threw it away? She threw it in a trash can?
I think Emu threw it in a lake. I think Emu threw it in the wharf when she turned good again.
Thanks for that shit, Emu. This fucking Parrot took over his body again and threw it in the lake.
Yeah. Parrot might have taken over Emu's body and thrown Emu in the lake. We don't know.
Poppy finds the Proto Mighty Action X Gashat in a pirate's treasure chest in a supply closet.
It's like there's like some cables and servers in the side, and nobody found it because there was a sign in front of it.
Yeah. It was very well hidden.
Super well hidden. Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider X8 episode 29?
You know what? I liked it. I liked the episode. I enjoyed it.
It wasn't outstanding, but I liked it.
I love the implications, and I've said this before. If you track back through Rider Club Radio history, any time during X8 that I say I love the implications that we're going to see blank, blank doesn't happen. Which is not a slam against the series, because I really like X8, but... it doesn't go the direction I think it's going to go. Like, the problem that I'm really excited to see develop just ends. I really hope that doesn't happen again. Because the problem right now is that the hero is possessed by the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. That's fucking awesome.
So much media, like adventure stories, action stories, always has a spot where the villain could just kill the main character easily and doesn't. At least this gives Parrot a reason. He's like, no, if you kill him, I die. I'm in him. He's my host. So that's why he's
constantly... That's not how that works.
Well, doesn't he? Doesn't... Because he's
the
host.
No, if you murder your host, you become real. Poppy murdered her host.
What if it's not Parrot who kills the host? What if it's Dan Kuroto?
I don't know the rules for that shit.
Maybe he's trying to...
It makes sense from Parrot's point of view, because he doesn't want to kill Emu. He wants to fucking play with him. That's his whole thing.
The longer Emu's alive, I think the stronger he can get. From eating off of his insides.
He's like your imaginary friend, right? When you were a kid and you wanted somebody to play with and you were a giant loser and everyone on the playground hated you.
Mm.
Or, you know, maybe that wasn't you. Yeah. But, like, you wanted somebody to play with, but then you outgrew him and he still wants to fucking play, so he turns everyone in the world into a Kamen Rider and starts murdering them.
Well, we've all been there.
That's a very relatable fucking hashtag right there.
I just love that they go back through the whole show and they're like, all this seemingly random shit was for a reason. And it doesn't seem cheap. It doesn't seem like they retrofitted this plot point onto the rest of the show. No,
it seems purposeful.
Yeah, it seems like they actually had that intention from the start.
This episode was really well crafted in that way. That everything, all the little loose ends were tied. And I was impressed with that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like some of the execution might have been a little underwhelming.
Yeah, but it's
Emu does some of his like most awkward acting in
when
this episode.
Pretending to be parried.
Like when he's hurt. Like he does this weird fucking like I've got a hernia. My fucking hernia's acting up thing. And he just like he's got a stomach cramp is how he's acting. Like, oh, I can't go to school today, Mom. I got stomach cramp. Oh, yeah. I can't go to school today, Poppy.
I can't go save any lives today, Poppy. My tummy kind of hurts.
I love that Parrot's like, when Parrot's taking control of Emu, Emu's just like, you know what? I don't want to be a doctor anymore. I quit. See ya.
Yeah. This is boring. That's another cool thing. The whole reason why he decided to become a doctor and stop playing games is because Parrot fucked off for a little bit.
Yeah. The surgery, Dr. Pac-Man's surgery, makes sense now. It's not just a random ass surgery.
Into the movie too. That's a really clever thing.
Yeah. The more I'm talking about this episode, the more I enjoyed it. Honestly,
it's just that one. This twist is pretty well executed for Kamen Rider.
Usually they're not really well executed. Yeah, all the stuff involving Poppy, I was like, this is a lot of coincidence that like Dan just had a countermeasure made for Bugsters.
I guess it was
and it wasn't just murder them.
I guess it was in case he got infected and he was still a kid.
Which
and didn't
he did.
Well, okay, but he was a kid and he didn't want to infect the whole world and shit yet. He wasn't nuts yet. He was 10 years old.
He infected a boy who drew a picture of a red guy and a green guy, or an orange guy and a green guy, and sent it to him.
An orange guy and a blue guy. And I guess that was
the crayon was green. You can't fucking argue that shit.
Blue! But he was just a little kid and
God,
he wanted
you
to.
You have the smallest dick.
He was just a little kid, I guess, and he had a thing. I don't know. Maybe it'll get explained.
Like, why didn't he use it? I mean, it might be explained. It absolutely might be.
He didn't use it.
They answered all my questions.
He's nuts.
I mean, his plan was to, like, be infected and, like, fuck everything up for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's why he didn't use it. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like he had to kill all these Bugsters. His plan was to, like, gather all the Bugster DNA to make Kamen Rider Chronicle. Why didn't he just use the countermeasure? He'd be able to get the Bugster DNA super fast.
Maybe the countermeasure is that it just gets rid of the Bugster DNA at all. And
maybe.
He couldn't use it.
That'd be a good explanation if they pull that out.
Yeah, maybe it will. Maybe it will. I like that Parrot is a more interesting villain now. When Dan first died and set Parrot up, we were like, Parrot...
That's
but
true.
Now he's got a thing. He's got a thing that makes him a lot more interesting.
Yeah, he is a lot more interesting, especially because, like, there's a little bit at the end of the episode during the next episode preview where Emu's like, I'm going to change the fate of humanity with my own hands. And Parrot says, I'm going to change the fate of Bugsters with my own hands. They're, like, mirror opposites as characters.
Parrot's got a cool motivation, too. He reminds me a bit of Hart. He's fighting for his people.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
His people were just dumb data or whatever, but he's trying to save them. He's trying to fucking get rid of the humans that'll destroy them.
Yeah, I like that a lot. They're really doing a good job with Parrot since they had to make him the main villain.
Yeah, I mean, I miss Dan.
I miss Dan too.
Dan's motivation was really funny. Parrot has a legitimate motivation.
Yeah,
that makes sense and makes him a nuanced character in a way. Dan's motivation was that he was just so fucking petty, and he really wanted to make the best game ever.
That was what I loved about Dan.
And so, Parrot's a more serious villain that poses a real threat, but Dan was far more enjoyable.
I think, it's okay. It's okay to have a villain that's just a villain and can't justify their actions to anybody sane, and is just fucking nuts. It's a lot of people shy away from that in modern media. They gotta have a villain who's like understandable or has a tragic past, but it's okay, I think, to have a villain like Dan, who is just a villain. He's a villain's villain.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a fucking tragic past. Maybe his mom died to a bugster or whatever, but he was nuts
That's his fault.
Yeah, he did that. And then he fucking blamed it on his dad, and his dad went to jail.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a flashback later where his mom's sleeping and he just, like, injects her. Just take that.
And then he goes, ha 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 ha.
Why did I do it to my mom? I don't know. Fucking see what happens.
I needed to test my bugster DNA somehow.
Do it on my mom.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's easy to get to. She's easy to observe.
My faults with this episode are minor. Like I said, talking about it makes me like it even more.
I have one fault.
Seeing all the things that they did well.
I have one major fault with this episode.
Tell me it.
Emu shoots Parrot with a Maximum Mighty X-Beam and changes his DNA, but what the fuck? He doesn't, like, turn him into a human, but he, like, puts human... What was his plan?
He fuses him with human DNA. I think his plan, he rewrote him to, like, extract him from himself, but it didn't work.
I guess, yeah, you could... I wish there was just one line of dialogue where he could say, oh, fuck, it didn't work, because, like, He never... All it does is shows a thing where... And that traditionally means he's taking bugster cells out. That's the only time he's ever done that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, rewriting abilities. But he doesn't rewrite any abilities. And Parrot is still very much a bugster. Like, he can still teleport and go inside Emu and shit. I don't know what the fuck... You know, supposed to... He screwed himself.
Man, he should have rewrote the code for that stupid fucking smile Parrot has.
Why didn't he just turn Parrot good like he did with Poppy?
Why didn't he just rewrite the code to make Parrot not fucking exist? Why didn't he just delete it?
Why didn't he just fly on Eagle to where Parrot was and fight him?
I don't know. These are the problems.
It's a shit show. Fucking sucks.
I love... Why didn't they just fly on the Eagles? Like, the Eagles are just a fucking taxi service. Just call them up.
I think when the fate of the world is at stake, they might be willing...
Maybe Gandalf called the Eagles to begin with, and they were like, yo, fuck off, dude.
Maybe they were busy.
We got Eagle shit to do.
Maybe they were fighting Maybe the whole reason why the Fellowship wasn't constantly being assaulted by dragons was because Eagles were there protecting
them.
Maybe. That must be it.
Maybe the Eagles just live in some fucking far-off land, and it took them that long to get there.
That's true. Maybe they're just hard to find.
Fucking let me 1-800 fly an Eagle. Get them fuckers in here.
No cell phones in Middle Earth.
Anyway.
Jeff, are you ready for news?
Yeah, let's hear about some news.
This episode is very good. Okay. So first news is a rumor. Not really news. A rumor.
What?
The Kamen Rider X-Aid movie title.
We are a terrible news program.
I know. We're a bad gossip magazine. The title for the Kamen Rider X-Aid movie may or may not be Kamen Rider X-Aid True Ending. That's just a rumor. Take it with a grain of salt.
That's
probably
cheap
not
as fuck.
True. It's cheap as fuck. It's just like Kamen Rider Ryuki episode final. It invites that comparison with the different ending sort of thing. Like, so it could just be something made up after hearing that. But it's a rumor that's stirring around a little.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Episode final was terrible.
It was fucking awful.
I don't want comparisons to that.
Look, Kamen Rider summer movies or whatever. Which the summer movie is the one where it's just the rider, right? That's the one. Yeah, I think that's it.
I don't remember.
I don't know what they call the there's the movie where they cross over with the last rider, the movie where they cross over with every rider, and the movie where it's just them. So I think that's the summer movie. I don't know, but Kamen Rider summer movies. A lot of them are shit, and you just gotta deal with it. If it's good, I'll be shocked. Drives was pretty good.
What was the last summer movie? The Ghost one?
Ghosts was, Ghost was the 100 Icons. That one was terrible.
Oh, I guess we did watch that one. That was fucking terrible. You can find a commentary track about that movie on RiderClubRadio.wordpress.com.
Hey! You don't even have to watch the movie with it, really. We explain everything you need to explain. The movie fucking sucks.
It sucks dick. We had to do that twice because it got corrupted too, so
yep.
Download it and listen to it, please.
Please make it that I didn't do it for nothing. Please.
Send money.
There is a Dan Kuroto Dangerous Zombie SH figure art coming.
Oh, I want it.
Oh boy.
I want it so bad. Fucking Dangerous Zombie is the best thing to come out of this whole show.
It's the best suit by far and away.
It really is. It's the best suit in, like, a long time as well.
Yeah, I'd say it's better than... Oh, shit. Is it better than anything in Ghost? I don't know. Ghost had some good fucking suits.
Ghost had a few good suits, it did. But, like, they're tainted for me now. Because of the show they're attached to. Every time I see him, my stomach turns.
Dangerous Zombie's a great suit worn by a great character, whereas Ghost is great suits worn by shit characters.
Yeah. It's pathetic, is what it is.
But look forward to that, if you got a thing. Speaking of which, Premium Bandai, the site that we often shake our fist at.
Don't fucking tell me about Premium Bandai.
I'm going to tell you a little about Premium Bandai. So every time a new cool toy comes out, and they say, oh, it's only on Premium Bandai, fuck yourself. If you want it, you have to go on eBay and pay a guy $6 trillion in shipping to get it. Mm-hmm. Premium Bandai has opened a North America store.
Yeah, they have. The North American store has 6 items in it.
Yeah, it's a baby steps, Jeff.
One of those items is a Mothra figure, but baby no steps. Godzilla.
there are some Gundam shit.
The 4 of them are Gundams, and the last one is like pieces to a Gundam.
The chances of them getting Kamen Rider stuff are completely up in the air.
Slim.
I don't know. Because Kamen Rider, obviously, not officially localized here. But there is a Premium Bandai store. You know what? It's the first step. Maybe there'll be Sentai stuff. I could see Sentai stuff with the DVDs getting localized and shit.
True. And I mean, if there's enough interest in the Sentai stuff, maybe we'll get some Kamen Rider.
Maybe. Fingers crossed.
It's, fucking, I'd love to get some of that Premium Bandai shit.
It'll make things a lot easier to get your hands on, yeah, and cheaper.
Yeah. It's still going to be an arm and a fucking leg, but...
Probably. This is only for the US and Canada, by the way. If you live in the UK or Mexico or something, you can fuck off.
Yeah, I guess it fucking sucks to be you.
Speaking of toys, the SIC Kamen Rider Gaim Lemon Raiment got shown. Did you see that,
Yeah,
Jeff?
Dude, fucking it looks sick as cool. Fuck. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's really cool.
How did Gaim get the cool... Like, SICs before Gaim were always like... Bleh.
They're terrible. I hate SICs, but yeah. The Gaim SICs are immaculate. I love them.
You know what it is? It's because they have a very clear design philosophy. Let's just make it look like real sense. Like, all the others are like, take a rider and make all their limbs really spindly and add spikes everywhere.
Yeah, make it extreme.
There's no clear design philosophy, but with Gaim, there's a very clear design philosophy, and that makes them, they look a lot better for it. Like, Baron looks like a... He's got the butt cape, and he looks like a real knightly, lordly figure. It's just really cool.
Super butt cool. Cape.
He's got the butt... The cape that, like, starts at your waist, like, almost a skirt, but it doesn't have a front.
It's a... I love that it's a butt cape.
It's a butt cape.
That's
cape
the term. That's the official term. Butt cape.
Yeah, that's what they called it back in the Middle Ages.
Butt was a very popular term.
Yeah.
Do we have any news that's not toy news? What, do we have any more news?
No.
Okay.
That's my news.
Okay, why don't we move on and say Moshi Moshi to Fize-kun.
Moshi Moshi Fize, these 3 episodes are dumb.
Yeah.
Just like the other 3 who preceded it.
Yeah.
In these 3 episodes, my favorite... Okay, so Sonata falls in love with Keitaro. A bunch of fights happen.
Keitaro is happy for literally 3 scenes, and then his girlfriend gets murdered.
The little orphan kid is the orphanage king. Shoichi probably. Dies. Probably. Anyways, it's a show that's fantastic. So Sonata falls in love with... Like, this, they find out, right? If you find out the last episode, they're like... There was that little realization moment where they finally figure out that they're each other's internet girlfriends.
That happens in the first episode of this trio.
Yeah. And
but she's, like, traumatized because she had electrocuted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kiba murdered, like, a million police officers. If you forgot, Sonata also murdered a million police officers. So fucking Tokyo's police force is decimated at this point. But she's, like, completely... She's, like, almost catatonic. She's so, like, freaked out by her experiences or whatever. And Keitaro is really, really nice to her, so she stops being, like, a weird bitch to him for no reason.
And she decides to email Keitaro while Keitaro is in the room, And Keitaro, like, she sends it off, and then Keitaro instantly is like, oh, I got a text. It's from, what the hell?
Yuka-chan.
Yuka-chan. Whoa. And then she's sitting she's across like, the room what? Like, oh my god.
And he like reads it out loud, and she's and like, there's more and more realization on her face. And I'm like, you just wrote this. You should have had all the realization you could have
the second
at the moment
he said,
you started talking.
Yeah, I got a text from Yuka-chan. Whoa.
But they fall in love.
That's the stupid. Okay. He admits, he's like, oh, I like you. And she's like, you know what, Keitaro? I'm in love with you too. What?
Somewhere along the way, I fell in love with you.
What?
I don't know. I don't know, Liam. It was almost like this was written by a bad writer.
No, that couldn't be.
Couldn't be.
Inoue would never do that.
Inoue is an amazing writer.
He's perfect. He's never written a bad thing. I interestingly enough, actually, talking about Inoue, I'm kind of getting a Nagito flashback at the very end. What's-Her-Face and Hojo fall in love for no fucking reason. The same kind of thing. These two characters just like...
Except she doesn't end up fucking dead.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe later. Maybe after she gets shot by a mugger or something.
The universe saw Keitaro was happy for like three scenes and was like, what the fuck? I didn't mean for this to happen. Let me correct that real quick.
That's another thing. So she's an Orphanok. She's like, oh, Keitaro and me, we can't be together. Because I'm an Orphanok. Keitaro lives with an Orphanok, and he knows it, and she knows it, and he doesn't give a fuck.
No.
And she's like, oh, fuck, but I'm an Orphanok. That's not going to happen.
And he's like, I don't care. Remember? Do you not remember that?
I fucking sleep in the same room with an Orphanok every night.
And they hug or whatever, and then they're going to go on a real proper date, but she doesn't show up because she's fucking dead.
She stands him up because she gets... This is the best part, okay, so... Fize talks to the police, and it's the good policeman, and he says, hey, we're just trying to figure shit out, okay? I don't want to kill any Orphanox, we're just trying to figure shit out. And Fize goes, okay, that's good. So he goes to Sonata and to Kiba, and he says, let's go back to the cops. And Sonata, having been strapped to an electric table and nearly electrocuted to death by the cops, the last time she went to the police station, she goes, yeah, that might have been a misunderstanding, I'll go back.
If Fize says that it's okay, then it's okay.
My God.
Here's a good question, though, right? Mm. Why did Fize say it was okay?
I don't...
Why is Takumi so fucking stupid suddenly?
Because his character disappears after the mid-20s. He doesn't have any motivation or anything. He just sort of does things to move the plot along.
His motivation is supposed to be finding the balance between being a human and being an Orphanok. And, like, figuring out what he wants to fight for. But his real motivation is to move the plot along from scene to scene.
To incite drama. That's his motivation. He's to stir shit up all day.
And, like, Kiba has had enough because they electrocuted Sonata. Like, mm-hmm. haven't humans already done shit? Why? He's just suddenly like, you know what? I'm gonna fucking kill humans again.
There's a final misunderstanding. What I hope is the final big misunderstanding of the series is they get trapped by the cops. Sonata runs away, and Miss Bartender from the Lucky Clover uses the opportunity to kill Sonata.
Yes.
And when Kiba finds Sonata's body, he says, oh god, it must have been those cops that shot her to shit that killed her. Fucking humans! And I don't like that what is presumably the villain's final arc that turns him into a villain is just based on him misunderstanding something again. That he just information that's been hidden from him that could be spoken to him really quick.
Misunderstanding.
It's a misunderstanding, isn't that dramatic? So he doesn't know what's going on, so he's gonna fight humans.
This isn't a very good show, Liam. Do you remember when you said this was a good show?
It is a good show for the first half. Now it's not.
Nah.
It is.
It was okay.
It was a good show. I really liked it, but boy howdy does it lose its wings.
It was okay. It's gotten like, every episode is, like, almost comedic. It's so fucking nonsensical.
Just shit happens. It's just shit happening now.
Yeah, stuff is just happening. Like, fucking...
We're close to the end.
Like, Kusaka was gonna get killed, right? Like, he just goes and gets Delta, and he's like, hey, Delta, remember when we were in the show? And Delta's like, I just want to go home. And then Kusaka's like, let's go fucking kill whatever his name is.
Oh, Kitazaki.
Kitazaki. Let's go fucking murder him, because he's the one who killed us, because we got to do something in this show, right?
And Delta's like, stipulate.
And Delta's like, I want to go home. And then they get on their fucking motorcycles and drive out and get their shit rocked. And Kusaka's going to get murdered. And the fucking, their dad, the goat orphanage, just walks into the scene and starts fighting Kitazaki.
He crawled out of the basement. He finally found his way out. The whole time he was looking for the door.
Were you just hanging out there? What were you doing?
I'm hoping we're going to get an explanation, but I think we might not. We might just not get an explanation for that. I could see it. But.
And apparently he's, like, friends with Kiba now?
My favorite part of these three episodes...
Dude, I gotta comment on that, though. This is my favorite part, though, and it's related, so I want to comment.
Okay.
Kiba murders the real Shoichi.
Mm-hmm.
And then turns and starts walking away, and the camera's just following him walking, and the fucking, like, goat orphanage is just standing beside the road as he walks past, and I went, what?! And he doesn't even react to him. I was like, what are you doing here?
We're best friends.
Is this an outtake?
My favorite is, so that the fucking orphan kid, finally, they're taking this plot somewhere dumb. So he was an orphan kid in a place, and Kaido adopts him finally. He just gives up and adopts.
Yeah, he doesn't adopt him, he steals him. He kidnaps this child.
He quote unquote adopts him his own way.
Yeah.
And they're lying in bed together, and the kid has an evil Orphanox shadow, and then later he burns two guys alive in a underpass.
Yeah, his Orphanox is apparently a naked adult man.
It's the scariest one of all.
Yeah. Maybe he's the human Orphanox.
So, Jeff, you said he might be the Orphanage King.
I don't know spoilers, but that seems really fucking stupid. And the way the show's going, that seems perfect.
I could see that. That's actually, that ties into another thing from Agito, another Inoue show, where the child is born and turns out to be the super powerful lord, overlord.
Yeah, that's a spoiler.
It happens in, like, the first 10 episodes. Shit. He grows into an adult. I could see this kid magically growing into an adult Orphanox, just like an Agito.
This show's dumb.
It's pretty stupid. It's pretty stupid.
Like, why is it this kid? He was just a random kid in a fucking burning building.
Maybe he got possessed.
Maybe he burned the building down.
He burned the building down so that Kaido would pick him up and take him to an orphanage and eventually adopt him.
No, he burned the building down because he fucking hated his parents.
Oh, that might be it.
Still has nothing to do with Orphanox at all.
Nothing to do with anything.
I just don't.
This show's not great.
Maybe you're right. Maybe Jeff is right when he said it wasn't a good show. Past Jeff.
Past Jeff. That guy's gonna be the death of me.
Yeah. Like, recent Jeff fell under the fucking spell of the show.
Yeah.
But past Jeff was right all along. It really was not a good show. part of it is good, though. I will rescind any complaints I had about, like, after the first few episodes until, like, the midway point. That's good stuff.
There's a good segment, but boy, does it not stick its landing.
Jeez. It's like, and people might point out that the same thing sort of happens with Kabuto, but Kabuto never gets, like, painful.
No.
It gets ridiculous.
It gets ridiculous and kind of funny, but it never gets this bad.
No, like, it never gets
nonsense.
This is painful. It's like you watch it and you're like, why the fuck am I watching this? It's not like ghost levels of painful, but it's just, it's a pinprick. It's a pinprick of a show.
It's a little pain, yeah. It's a thumbtack.
Sayonara-fies.
Sayonara-fies. Good riddance, you fuck. See you next week, asshole.
Fucking get better. we also watched this week Kamen Rider Amazons episode 17.
Kamen Rider Amazons, the worst date in history.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, the date went on just long enough that I was starting to get annoyed by it. But, like, when they started eating the confection thing and she was super uninterested and he, like, vomited because he can't handle real food and it reminded him of eating his mama.
Yeah.
It redeemed itself.
That was a great, great scene. Because not only do you have... you have a little bit of fleshing out of Chihiro's backstory, or is it like you get a little reminder of his past?
You get a little pathos from him.
Well, look, yeah, and then there's the scene, he's vomiting his shit up in the bush, and then you hear next to him, and he's like, "What?" And Iyu is mimicking him, trying to puke or crepe up, and he's like, "No, that's not normal. Don't do that. Just throw it in the garbage."
She says, "Roger,
Roger, Roger."
It's this episode functions in the same way that a lot of episodes of season one of Amazons did, in that it sets up things to happen in the future.
That's its main focus.
And it has, like, a big twist at the end, like all Amazons episodes.
Yeah.
It leaves you fucking hanging on, and the big twist this time is, the fucking extermination squad from season one are back together, baby, except the ones that are dead.
Except for, yeah, Fuku.
Fuku is not part. And Mamoru.
Mamoru isn't there.
Dead, and the two dead guys.
Dragonfly guy and the guy that Dragonfly guy killed.
Yeah. So, they are going to find the source of the Amazon Saibos, the water. And they find it, and Fuku's there. And they're like, "Fuku, what's up? What are you doing out here by yourself?" And he's like, "Actually, I have backup." And the camera pans over, and it's fucking Mamoru. It's the mole Amazon. He's back! And he looks like he's probably using that personality suppressant thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another thing that's... You can take this injection to your neck to completely get rid of your desire to eat people, but it eats your personality as well. It gets rid of your personality.
It's not an injection to the neck, it's another fucking, like, armlet.
Oh, yes, the armlet. Yeah, the Gigi armlet that, What's-Her-Face has, Iyu has.
Yeah. Chihiro has, I think, has one as well. Maybe?
I don't think he's got the armlet. I think that's why he still has the hunger.
Maybe that's true.
I haven't seen it on him yet.
Because, dude, he really fucking wants to eat people, like, real bad.
There's a great scene in this when Iyu acknowledges, because her boss tells her, Iyu acknowledges that she shouldn't be trying to hurt Chihiro. She fights Chihiro every time he has the urge to eat people. And her boss says, "No, Chihiro isn't, we don't hunt Chihiro."
No, she should fight Chihiro every time he tries to eat people. Like, fucking somebody needs to stop that boy.
Nope. She says, "Oh, Chihiro, okay, well, I shouldn't hunt Chihiro." And Chihiro's like, "Oh my god, say that again." Like, he's so enamored with this girl.
Yeah, he is in love with her, because he doesn't want to eat her.
When the show started, I thought it might end with Chihiro maybe awakening her emotions or something, but this episode makes me think that it's going to turn out horribly. I mean, it is Amazons, so...
And Chihiro needs to fucking give it up. Things are not going to turn out well for him.
She is a dead corpse. There's no hope.
I mean, she might regain her memories or whatever, but it's not going to go the way he hopes it'll go.
Yeah.
In this episode as well, we learn that Iyu's father was a professor of, like, bioengineering, and he taught Jin from season one, Kamarada Amazon Alpha.
We're actually going to go into Iyu's dad's backstory. Hojo returns.
Hojo the Third.
The ghost of Hojo.
Looking old as fuck.
He's like Bando. He's got to be in every show. And Bando was in Amazons, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's coming by.
Where did this rabbit hole go? What the fuck?
Maybe they're the same guy.
Man, they must be. They look so similar.
There's a... there's, like... What I was wondering this whole episode is, like, where's Haruka's girlfriend? Didn't she join this team?
She joined a different team. She was part of, like, the... Because there's the kill squad, the new kill squad that has Fukuda in it and Iyu. But then there was, like, the secondary kill squad, the backup kill squad. That's where...
I thought she joined that one, the new one, because she, like, saluted him and he was like, "Welcome to the team," or whatever, all sarcastically.
No, I think that scene, because they go in without her, and then backup arrives and she's with the backup. I think she's with, like, the backup, the shittier ones. Remember, yeah. they all went with yeah. the...
I remember in the first season, there was a shittier team that just... They showed up to get murdered to show that the Amazons are violent.
She's in the team that, that his purpose is to get murdered.
That would be my team. I would be the head of that team. The one that goes in first and gets killed first.
Yep. Cabin in the Woods style, baby.
This episode was really good, but it just makes me excited for further developments.
Yeah, that's Amazon's is really good at setting things up. And I looked at, I remember I said last week, is it written by Kobayashi? It is. So that's why it's still good. Thank God they didn't change the writer.
There is a scene where they arrive at the water place, right? Where the water company got their Amazon Saibos from.
At the spring or whatever, yeah.
The spring. And every Amazon from Amazon Season 1 shows up.
Yeah.
Alive and well again, because they have all the suits. And they just murder the shit out of all of them with a precision and ability that they never had before.
They're better. They're older. They're wiser.
I guess.
They have Juo Eagle on the team now, so things are better.
Everything's... It's, yeah, fucking... That guy did so much to help.
He looks like Juo Eagle with a slightly taller face.
Yeah. They're very similar looking.
They look very similar.
Is that racist?
No.
I don't think I've ever pointed out that any character in a toku looked like another until now, but they're very similar looking.
They look very similar.
But everyone knows I'm a giant fucking racist anyway.
That's true. It's the accent. It gives it right away.
Yeah, everyone knows. Oh man, he sounds like he might be from the South. Probably a racist.
Probably. It's a good call. Usually.
That's a pretty safe bet, honestly. Yeah, it was a really good episode, and it just, like, I'm really excited to see where it goes. I was really happy to see full Amazon suits. Even though, like, the elephant Amazon, the doctor, that's a pretty fucking cool design.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe it's just, like, the cannon fodder ones that are gonna be shitty.
Maybe, I hope so. I wouldn't mind that much.
What is the deal with, like, the robot voice calling out robot upgrades?
Because it's the Neo belt. It's the Amazon driver Neo, so it's got a cool voice.
Yeah, but it, like, he has robot attack weapons in his body. Like, he has, like, a crane thing, or, like, a sword that comes out, and it's very robotic.
I think that's... Because the belt, like, clearly looks more high-tech than the last one. I think that's, like, the belt adds weapons to your shit. He's got, like, armor and stuff, too.
Yeah, the last one... The Omega belt had weapons in it.
Yeah, it's true, but the weapons come out of the belt. This one, like, I guess puts them on your body to make them easier to use.
I guess.
It's a new belt. We get to see Haruka use it later, I know, so we'll see what the... A little more, like, in-depth what the differences are there.
If Haruka uses that belt, does he turn into, like, Amazon Neo, or does he turn into Amazon Omega?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
He turns into Amazon Neo Omega, like a sort of... combination of the two. It's like Omega, but more high-tech looking.
Oh, okay.
It's a new suit entirely.
I like the Neo belt. I like that it says, has a voice and it has a little thing. And the little thing makes sense. It's like the same... it's like a transformation juice that gets injected into him.
I love that, the syringe in the Neo belt. That's a very cool design decision.
It just doesn't make any sense to me that he turns into a robot man.
It's the belt. It's belt technology. It adds to, like, the Amazon driver original, it pulls out your Amazon-ness and allows you to control it. This one augments it, gives you robot shit on top of it.
Yeah, but there's, like, a grounded level of realism in Amazons. I mean, as much as you can get with a series of, like, monsters that come out of people.
Yeah.
But, like, when you put the belt on and you transform, you just turn into, like, a monster mash man.
Mm-hmm.
And you have control over it. Maybe it's just injecting suppressants into you. You turn into a monster mash anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The belt doesn't transform you as much as it just suppresses it so you can control it.
Yeah.
And now in the new season, it makes you a robot man. And it just appears. All your robot parts just appear.
It's not... I don't think they're actually, like, cyborg parts in them. I think it's just weapons strapped on.
That could be. Where do they come from?
I don't know. Same place that Emu gets his Gashikon hammer from.
Yeah, it's a really stupid question in Kamen Rider, but it's never been like that in Amazons before, where, like, having a belt makes you transform and have, like, weapons appear out of nowhere and shit. Mm-hmm.
That having been said, next year I do hope we get a Kamen Rider Strongers or a Kamen Rider X's or like a new, totally new thing. I don't want Amazon Season 3.
We're not. We're going to get Amazon Season 3.
Ah, come on. There's only so much you can do with this world.
You remind me of me with the Dark Souls series so much. Where I played Demon's Souls. Dark Souls came out and it was a different game entirely. And I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I can't wait to see what they do with the next one. And they just made Dark Souls 2 and then Dark Souls 3. And then the series was over.
But you got Bloodborne.
Yeah, Bloodborne was the fucking tits, too.
I always say the true Souls series is Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Three fucking 10 out of 10 games.
Yeah, all brilliant made. I replayed Demon's Souls just recently. What a great-ass game.
It really is. It's fun. Like, it doesn't have a lot of the same things Dark Souls has.
No frills,
but it's a different game.
Souls, yeah. Yeah.
It's a different game, so it doesn't need them. Like, Bloodborne doesn't have some of the stuff Dark Souls has.
Yeah, it's...
That's fun.
Different kind of... They're all different games that work a little differently.
Yeah. I love those three games so much, though. I don't actually dislike Dark Souls 2 and 3. I just think they're lesser games.
Yeah.
Even though my favorite suit of armor in the entire Souls series is the Dark Souls 2 fucking Ferocia Knight armor.
Really? I thought your favorite set was the Elite
Faram
Knight set.
The Faram Knight is my favorite.
Elite Knight set?
No, the Elite Knight set was dethroned.
Oh, wow.
Actually, no. My favorite set is probably the Fluted Knight set from Demon's Souls.
Yeah, Demon's Souls. I was just going to mention the Fluted set. Looks
that's
so
my
nice.
Favorite. So it's like Fluted Knight, Faram Armor, Elite Knight.
Not bad. Speaking of Amazons, this episode...
Speaking of demons...
This episode is very good. It sets up future episodes very well. I cannot wait to see where they're going with this, and I cannot wait to see Chihiro get fucking crushed when he realizes that he can't be with EU.
I don't know if you know this about Liam, but he likes to watch, like, any sort of, like, anime or television series where some dude just gets his fucking heart ripped out and a girl, like completely leaves him.
I think... Yeah, where could that come from? I think... I think in fiction, in fiction that's, like, serious, obviously, not comedic or something, if you're making, like, a serious thing, I think you should put your characters through the ringer. Even something not serious. Like, that's why we watch characters. We want to see them go through challenges. And I get a sort of sadistic pleasure out of seeing characters go through really, really awful, horrible challenges and then obstacles.
I feel like you would enjoy The Walking Dead a lot.
The show or the comic or what?
The show.
The show?
The comic as well, but the comic... I don't know. I haven't read too much of the comic. I've only read, like, a couple graphic novels.
I hear the show turns to fucking bullshit recently. I hear it's not very good anymore.
See, I don't know. I've only seen season 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. Because I have I have friends and coworkers that watch it.
Maybe I've seen 1, 2, and 3. I don't fucking know. But it's literally like... I don't know. If you like the part of the story where the character goes through the ringer and he comes out the other side like stronger than ever... And, like, figures his shit out and triumphs and then goes through more stuff afterwards. Mm-hmm. That part doesn't happen. These characters just continually get shit on forever. And it never gets any better.
That doesn't sound as satisfying in a story.
No. It never gets any better for them ever. Which is kind of modern TV, in a nutshell.
I have coworkers that watch the show and are, like, big fans of it and are always talking about it. And even them, recently, they're like, yeah, I stopped watching it. Fucking, it's really boring. It sucks. The characters are garbage now. I just couldn't stop watching. I couldn't keep watching it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about anything past the third season.
Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out.
I've actually never watched Game of Thrones, either.
I watched Game of Thrones, first five seasons. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
Is there sword fighting?
Oh, yeah. There's actually some pretty decent... there's some decent ones, there's some bad ones, but there's a lot of sword fights.
I watched the first episode of Into the Badlands.
I heard that had some cool fights.
Yeah, that has really fucking good fight choreography.
Yeah?
The story's kind of dumb, but it has really good fight choreography.
I started watching Iron Fist this week.
That has neither.
It does that thing that I hate when fiction does, in that it starts its plot before introducing you to any of its characters.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Luke Cage, right, there's that scene in the barbershop when a guy says something dumb and Luke Cage tells him to shut up and he acts all tough. And you get the sense that Luke Cage is this guy who's got strong principles and he's a tough guy. You don't have that scene with Iron Fist. Things just kind of start happening and Danny's a weirdo and you're like, who is this fuck? Stuff just starts going on.
Fucking weirdo?
Yeah.
That show is a chore, dude. Like, it's not fun to watch. The fight scenes are boring as fuck.
It's because after Daredevil, I was most excited for Iron Fist. That's why I'm kind of sad.
It's funny that I wasn't... I was, like, looking forward to Luke Cage, but I wasn't, like, as excited for it as I was for, like, Iron Fist, because I really wanted to see some cool martial arts.
Yeah.
And out of all of the series, Luke Cage is my favorite.
Yeah, same here. It's the best one.
It really is. Anyway, fuck, this is nothing about Kamen Rider at
way
all.
Off of Amazons.
Jesus.
What TV shows are you guys watching this week?
This is a general conversation podcast.
How's the current season of The Walking Dead? Send us an email.
Anyway, the Amazons episode was good. I'm really excited to see where it goes. How about we fucking read some emails? How
Speaking
about
mail,
that shit?
Yeah, whip them out.
If you'd like to,
table.
Oh god! If you'd like to send us an email, you could send it to us at riderclubradio@gmail.com. By the way,
or you can send us a question over Twitter at riderclubradio.
Yeah. Send it in like a direct message, probably. But we're getting all this out of the way before you stop listening.
Yeah,
at the end of the episode. Our first question is from Rob, who says, "Hello, Liam and Jeff.
I would like to first."
Yes, god damn. I would like to hear you guys' opinions on the Gamera film series. If you don't have an opinion on the Gamera film series, I would recommend you check that shit out because it's dope as hell. Regards, Rob.
All I know is that Gamera is friend to all children. I've never actually seen any.
I have seen quite a bit of Gamera. And
you've seen Gamera?
Yeah. I like kaiju movies.
Okay.
It's really great, like, B-movie, just chilling, not paying total attention.
Yeah, I figure.
Like, hanging out movies. Gamera really gives Godzilla a run for his money.
Really?
Like, some of those movies are really good. And, like, Gamera has an arch enemy. Like, Godzilla doesn't have an arch enemy.
He's got, like, 30 arch enemies.
He's got, like, 30 enemies, but none of them are his, like, arch enemy.
Yeah.
But Gamera has an arch enemy, Gauss, which is, like, a fucking pterodactyl monster.
Jesus.
And, like, seeing all the different variations of Gauss over the years always keeps me coming back. I love the fucking, they just hate each other's guts forever. The universe reboots itself, and they just fucking hate each other in the new universe, too.
Jesus.
I love it.
They should make a Shin Gamera.
Yeah,
that's all about modern Japanese society.
I still haven't seen Shin Godzilla.
Oh my god, it's so good!
I got a completely legal Fire Stick somehow. Somehow I didn't break the law with it. don't send cops. And I started watching it a little bit, and then I had to go fucking, like, do something else, and I never got back to it.
The scene where he first uses the atomic breath, did you get that far?
No.
That scene should, if there's any justice in this world, that scene will go down in Godzilla history. You gotta fucking see Shin Godzilla. I'm sure everybody listening who has seen it knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do need to see it. Fuck, maybe I'll watch it this weekend.
You should!
Thanks for writing in, Rob.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry I haven't seen Gamera. Maybe I will check it out if it's as cool as you say it is.
Yeah, what a dipshit. Our next question is from Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake.
Which I guess is just his real nickname now.
I guess
You're welcome. I have to say, Parrot is a lot more fun to watch when he's controlling Emu, being cocky and hitting people while untransformed. Perfect Knockout is a great design in my book. Quite the debut, I have to say. Flooring, Snipe, Brave, and X-Aid's respective highest level forms all in one battle. I don't know if it's just me, but seeing Perfect Knockout take down Maximum Gamer X-Aid was just so satisfying to watch.
I think that means villain. That means X-Aid's going to have to get another form before he can beat him, probably.
Probably so.
I think we're going to get, oh boy, the final form.
I've seen drawings. I haven't seen the real one.
Boy, oh boy.
Questions. Would your Gamer Rider level 99 forms be a combination of your level 50s, Streets of Rage 2 plus Blood Moon, or something else? Blood Moon?
Oh. Blood Moon, the Morrowind expansion, remember the werewolf
one? Oh, yeah. Would our level 99 be a combination of Streets of Rage 2 and Blood Moon?
Streets of Blood Moon? Pile driving the werewolves into the dirt and eating raw werewolf legs out of fucking garbage cans.
God damn, I'd play the fuck out of that game, dude. That sounds awesome.
That'd be incredible.
I'm gonna go with that.
Okay, yeah.
Question two. Any favorite Ryder catchphrases? Mine has to be go searching, destroying, both done at Maha speed. Thanks and looking forward to the next episode, Jake the Snake.
You're welcome. My favorite is also from Drive. I'm Kamen Rider Drive and you're coming along for the ride. I always thought that was cool as fuck.
I do think that's pretty cool. I actually really like I'm going to clear this with no continues.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
My favorite is my life is going to burn bright.
Oh, of course.
Actually, my favorite is listen to the sound of my Kokoro.
The voice of my Kokoro. Fuck Necrom. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What terrible. I want to field a question.
Okay.
What's the worst character in Ghost? I don't think we ever hashed out what the worst... Like, they were all bad, but I don't think we ever picked a worst one.
Ghost.
What about Inari, though?
Necron Takeru.
From Wasted Potential?
Takeru, like, makes me angry. Every time I see him, I'm fucking pissed off at his stupid face. Like, fucking poor Shin Nishime. Rest of his life, every time anyone who hates Ghost sees him, it's just gonna be like, ah, you fucker!
If you ever, like, meet him in real life, like, if you bump into him at a bar, you can't have a friendly discussion with him because you're just going to get mad.
Soon as I see him, I'm going to be like, ah! He's going to be like, oh my God, what's wrong? And I'm going to be like, I fucking hate your face! I'll be like,
Ghost!
And then he'll go, oh, okay. Okay, I understand.
I wonder if he knows.
No.
I wonder if he knows.
He just sees all the little fucking Hiroshis loving
Ghost. Yeah, that's true. He doesn't see. I'm sure. I'm 100% certain he's not aware of guys like us.
No. No one in Japan gives a fuck about the Western audience.
I mean, I'm sure there's like an adult audience in Japan of neets and hikikomoris who watch Kamen Rider. Yeah,
no one gives a fuck about that either.
Yeah, I guess not.
Thanks for the question.
Thanks for the... Wait, you didn't pick up favorite catchphrase.
Yeah, I did.
You like, no continues?
Yeah, I think that might be my favorite. I'm actually drawing a blank on a lot of catchphrases. No, actually, my favorite is now let's count up your sins.
Yeah, I was thinking pre-decade at first, and most pre-decade writers don't have catchphrases.
No.
Thinking back at it, a lot of them don't have any.
Not really.
Yeah, but I'm going to say you're coming along for the ride. I think that sounds really cool.
I think now let's count up your sins.
Count up your sins also sounds really badass.
It's fucking super badass. Mox is actually really fun too.
Yeah, Mox a fun guy. He lives out loud.
Sometimes. Our next email is from Ian. Very similar to Liam.
Close, it's pretty close.
Coincidence?
is this email about how I'm great?
Yeah. Oh, my name's first. Never mind. Hey, Jeff and Liam. I asked you two about modernizing a past motif / gimmick for a future Rider series in the past, which got me to thinking about a similar, yet different question. If you could take one Kamen Rider series and change something about the plot or characters to better fit the motif or gimmick of the series, what would it be and why? My example would be changing Shinosuke from Drive into a street racer recruited by the police instead of a cop, so that the car motif makes more sense and you can better explain why he was picked to be Drive. His body can handle high-speed situations that put stress and force onto a body. Thanks for the answers, and I look forward to more solid content, Ian.
Oh,
solid
shit.
Gold content.
I would turn... Shinji Kido into a real dragon, so it makes sense that he turns into a dragon with Ryuki.
Liam, are you stupid?
Maybe. That's what my doctor says.
Your doctor said you were stupid? Jesus.
My psychiatrist, he was like, damn, I have a diagnosis. You're fucking dumb.
Got him! fuck, that's a really good question,
though. That's one that requires a little thought.
I would make any modern writer have a real job in a real life. That's what I would do.
Yeah, maybe something that vaguely... I would make Emma play some games a little more often.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a good one, though. To make Drive not just a police officer, like make him a street racer as well.
That's a good idea, yeah. Fuck me, though. I want to change Ghost, because that show is a fucking nightmare.
You know what? I would make Ghost into an actual ghost and not just a weird fucking, like, spirit thing.
Ghost into a show about ghosts that involves ghosts. Yeah. Well, we talked about this a lot during Ghost, is there's a perfect episodic structure in place of, like, here's a ghost that can't rest because there's a problem that's got to be solved, and we solve the problem.
Dude, you know what would have been really fucking cool?
What?
Is if, like, Ghost dies, right? Like, what's his name? Takeru dies. And he can transform into, like, he can make someone else transform, like, power a belt, but he can't transform himself, and he has to, like, power Spectre's belt or something, and they fucking can't stand each other.
Oh, like, because, he's like, the suit and Spectre is the guy.
Yeah, like, Spectre hates him because, like, he blames him for his sister being in the Icon or whatever, but they have to work together to achieve their goals.
That is very cool.
That would be a great series. It's too bad none of that happened and it was Ghost instead.
It's too bad nobody making Ghost had a good idea at any point.
No, that's true.
Yeah, that's our answer. Make Ghost about ghosts. The answer is right in front of you the whole time.
Our next email. Thanks for writing in, by the way.
Yeah.
Our next email is from Don Piantis, who wrote us a nice article, but there are some questions at the bottom, so I'm going to skip to the questions. I'm sorry, Don Piantis. I read them all.
Okay.
Questions. Not sure if you guys still follow the franchise. What do you think about the new Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite? Since I always remember Jeff pointing to this franchise with "gonna take you for a ride," one of Drive's many catchphrases. It looks great, though not a big fan of Ultron's voice, since it's reminding me of the horrendous cartoon Avengers Assemble.
Never saw it, but I heard it wasn't great.
Yeah, I've never really seen it either. I'm really fucking psyched that Mega Man X is in it.
I'm of two minds about MVC Infinite.
I'm not going to buy it. I will say that.
I'm probably not going to buy it, yeah. If they didn't remove assists, I'd be fine. That's the only thing, is why did they have to remove assists? What was the fucking philosophy behind that?
I don't know.
Like, MVC 2 is a perfect fighting game. It's really fun to play with friends if you don't know what you're doing, and it also has a high skill ceiling if you want to actually get there. It's not the perfect fighting game, but it's a perfect fighting game.
There's like a distinct lack of effort. I hate to say that, because I know, like, it takes more time now to, like, make a character fully fleshed out and everything, but it seems like there's a lack of effort between Marvel vs. Capcom 2 to 3, like a drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many characters are in Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
I don't think as many as 2, but I don't know.
And, like, the variety isn't really there.
Venom's not in MVC 3. Captain Commando is not in MVC 3.
Yeah, it's like all these really cool characters aren't in it. It's all just the most popular people.
Yeah.
Like, there's no fucking big fat cat looking fucking thing with a sombrero and maracas to play as.
There's no Captain Commando!
There's no Captain Commando.
I love Captain Commando.
Captain Commando was on every team I ever played with. Mega Man sucked dick, but I always played as him, too.
I like who?
Mega Man.
Yeah. I mean, I like MVC 3 fine. It was a drop-off. MVC Infinite, like I said, I'd be okay with it. I'd probably buy it if it had assists. I'm okay with two-man teams. I'm okay with a little simplifying the controls. I'm fine with that. The story looks really fun. I don't know. Maybe I will buy it, but I like MVC. I like MVC 3 for now. I'm
probably not
going to
buy it.
Probably. I'm not a big fighting game guy in the first place. I don't buy a fighting game unless it looks awesome.
See, I like fighting games alright. I've never been super great at them or anything, but I've always really enjoyed them. You know, I will give Marvel vs. Capcom 3 this. It has Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins in it, and that's fucking awesome.
Like, there's some good additions. Phoenix Wright. yeah. Beautiful Joe among them. Frank West. God, I love Frank West.
It's all from the Capcom side, though, is the thing. Like, the Marvel roster is the most fucking bland-ass side of anything.
I guess it's got the
Super Skrull.
Super Skrull? Shuma-Gorath?
Shuma-Gorath had to be in it, though. Is the thing. Anyway.
Anyway.
Hopefully that answered your question.
MVCU, I might buy it. I really don't like that there's no assists. I know it sounds weird that that's such a deal breaker.
You are, like, real hung up on this assist thing.
I like assists, okay? They're fun.
Why don't you just fucking fight for yourself, you bitch?
I'm gonna... No.
The same guy, Don Piantis, asked. He says he's kind of iffy about this since Kamen Rider Chronicle started. Besides Amazons, do you guys think they should raise the threat level in recent Kamen Rider series? Outside of the prologue, I feel they should have had a consistent civilian death rate to remind us of having Kamen Riders. There doesn't have to be a high death toll like in Kuga or Agito. It doesn't have to be gruesome. Just enough once in a while to freak the audience out, you know? And at least have, like, there be a reason for the Kamen Riders to fight. In Ryuki, a fucking spider mirror monster pulls you into the mirror for dinner. Instant zero right of survival. I was going to use Blade as an example, too, but Liam had to start watching it.
Yeah.
In Wizard, Phantoms were around, but hardly produced any new Phantoms. Maybe I should be rooting for them instead. What do you think, Liam? Should there be a higher level, like a higher threat level, more deaths?
You can't have death tolls in Modern Rider. It's a sad thing, but you can't have the thing where the police guy gets on the phone and says, I have 21 casualties so far. The show has changed and you can't do that.
I guess
I don't
true.
Like it.
See, you
truth.
Say that, but the entire fucking, like, country of the United States of America was wiped off the planet Earth with nuclear bombs.
But that's very glossed over. All the threats are very glossed over in modern. Like, they say I think it's one line where the nukes hit. Like, and then they throw them away, and then they're like, yep, they reflected them back. And that's it. That's all that's said about it. They don't say, oh, like, millions of Americans got fucking nuked into the oblivion. They don't.
Which they did.
Which they did, but they don't say that. They push it off.
The funniest part about that is, like, as an American watching it, I was like, oh my god. And then they're like, yeah, that's bad. Also, the Invis might attack us.
What's gonna happen to us?
Like, the Invis blocked off the routes out of our city. I'm like, they fucking just got nuked, dude!
The entire world is changing before your eyes. That was...
Like,
no.
I understand why you might not care too much about America being nuked, but... It's still newsworthy.
That is to say, a Ryuki style is a very good suggestion. I think you could get away with that in Modern Rider. Just have, like, a... I don't know, say you have a... Still, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see a Bugster, like, implicitly murdering someone, like, dragging them into a back alley, and you hear a scream as an implicit murder happens with, like, a sound effect. I still couldn't see that. That's pretty
tame. That might be a little much.
Even that is relatively tame, but I couldn't see it in Modern Rider. I wish they would get a little more ballsy, but I just don't see them doing it.
Like... There's like a bit of like Pyrrhic victory kind of thing to earlier Kamen Riders where they're like, you kill the monster at the end of the episode, but like fucking 80 people are dead or whatever.
Yeah, Kuga especially had that.
Yeah, and I couldn't see that happening in Modern Rider. Like, they have to defeat the enemy every time. The only person who dies is like a main character.
Mm-hmm.
General public people always run away.
Yeah, or they get thrown into a plastic table and then get up and run away.
Yeah, they always get away.
They always get away.
And that makes... Sometimes that does make the threat seem weak.
Always. Like, remember we were talking about in Ghost, their goal is to collect human souls, and they do not successfully collect a single one over the entire course of the show.
So they're completely, like, defanged. No one is afraid of them whatsoever.
It's the same Bugster's goal is to eat humans and finish them off, but at least the way they get around that is they have... a really, really non-violent death, and they keep them to a minimum, the ones that actually succeeded. But at least you have some Bugsters that actually succeeded. It's not the worst thing in X-Aid, but Ghost was really egregious about that non-threatening villain.
I feel like it would change the tone of the series pretty heavily. Like, there's melodrama in X-Aid or whatever, but none of it is real, like, high-stakes life-or-death shit most of the time. You know they're gonna pull it out at the end regardless.
Mm-hmm. There's no, like, in Amazons, let's bring it back to Amazons all the time, any of those characters could die at any second, really, except for the main couple characters. I could see fucking Fukuda getting fucked up next episode. I could see most of the characters getting horribly murdered, but that's not really the case with the main show. There's just not a whole lot of, tension.
Dude, wouldn't it be fucked up if Chihiro got killed?
That would be fucked up.
If Chihiro just gets fucking murdered and, like, Haruka's the main character for the last few episodes.
That would disappoint me, actually. I kind of like Chihiro.
Yeah. Chihiro's a bitch. Nah, I like him alright, too.
He'll
feel
develop.
Really bad for him. Like, he's everything in his life is terrible.
Yeah, well, he knows what he did.
He fucking ate his mom.
He ate his own mom.
That's fucked up, dude.
He might have not eaten his own mom.
He probably did. Speaking of Amazons,
what?
Our next email is from Timeline, who is an Amazon.
Oh, of course.
And he says, "Hi, guys. Which non-human characters, if any, do you think will survive to the end of Amazons? Kamen Rider usually likes to return to the status quo at the end, but Amazon seems like it might be brave enough to leave the world a changed place." Did you send this email before the end of the first series? Because the world is a changed place.
Maybe they'll, like, not all the Amazons are going to die at the end of season 2 is what he's trying to get at.
Yeah. I definitely think so, because, like, it's just not that type of series where everything gets reset and the world's normal again afterwards.
Yeah, they...
It's like, the world is never going to go back to normal after, like, years of people just turning into horrible monsters and eating each other.
Amazons is such a fucking breath of fresh air, because it can have teeth. It can do stuff that the main show can't do.
I'm sorry, Timeline. I was making a mean-spirited joke at your expense. I'm a bad person.
Jeff, we all know you're a bad person.
Aw, don't say that.
You don't have to come out and tell us.
Don't say that to me.
Too late. I said it. It's out there. It
hurts my feelings. I feel like Chihiro's probably not gonna make it. Like, I feel like he's gonna die.
I think Chihiro will live. I'm pulling for him.
I think Iyu's gonna die. Chihiro's gonna live.
Iyu is fucking dead as a doornail.
She's already dead, but she's gonna double dip dog die.
She's gonna die twice. She's gonna go to Double Hill.
She's gonna be a re-dead.
So yeah, that's...
Chihiro will live, Haruka will live. I think a lot of them will live. Mamoru might die.
I could see Mamoru biting it.
I could actually probably see Haruka dying as well.
I could see... Yeah, he's not the main character anymore. He's susceptible.
That's a funny thing that we kind of glossed over that I was going to mention about Haruka is that it seems like he might be the villain of the series.
He is the Amazon King now. They say he's the boy that turned himself into the Amazon King.
Like, it seems like he might be the villain. Like, he's going to start, like, an Amazon uprising.
Yeah.
Which
Maybe that's
is
what he's
great.
Been doing all these years.
Which is great.
It's cool.
Like, he got tired of, like, trying to keep them all, like, in that little town or whatever and try to keep people away from there. So now he's just fucking, like, enough Amazons have died.
We're
Let us eat
too.
you jerks, you meanie pantses.
We're gonna eat all the people, and there's no one left for us to eat, and then we'll die. It's my end game.
My
that's
end game
is the
Amazons. Everyone's dead. It's Kano's end game.
Yeah.
He's just, if everybody kills each other, there won't be any Amazons left.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. It's really simple, actually.
That's why he's still involved in this shit. He's just sitting there with his giant, quivering lower lip, hanging out, waiting for everybody to die.
And that's when he'll make his move.
And then I'll be the Amazon King. Thanks for writing in, Timeline. That is our last email. If you would like to have your email read on the air by two of your least favorite people in the entire world, then
send
you can
your email
send it
into M-Class Podcast. Oh,
baby! Oh, snap! He fucking got me!
Zing!
That's M-Class Podcast, the Star Trek podcast starring me and Josh Henderson of Continue Show fame, available on iTunes,
that.
SoundCloud, Fuck and off. YouTube.
Stop with this.
You can send your emails for this show into writerclubradio@gmail.com.
Or you can send us a Twitter, or follow us on Twitter, at Rider Club Radio.
You can send us a Twitter.
Send us a Twitter. Send us a link to Twitter.
How old are you? So you kids can send me a Twitter.
Tweet one of your tweet twats.
Oh, God.
At Rider Club Radio.
We talk a lot of funny things on there. It's a lot of fun.
We're one of the best tweeters. We've gotten several awards.
I don't think we've tweeted in the past, like, week. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all your emails. Thanks for your patronage. Send money. And have a great week.
Good night.
See ya.